Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 20th of June, 2022, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. It's Monday, so it's a What's in the News Monday. We're checking out what's happened over the last week in this episode of The Bahamas. And lots of things have happened. I asked you about your Father's Day. Are the results in? How many fathers got crab and rice this weekend? I got a lot of issues on my list to talk about today, pulling from stories in the news last week. One headline, people living and operating on Crown land on Carmichael Road given 14 days to clear out. Another headline, PM, it's up to Gibson whether he resigns. Andrus registers 12,000 plus visitors in 2021. PM at Chogum in Rwanda. Not the speaker again. What's the real deal on sunken treasure? Oh, wow. Clarity needed on embassy spending. Squatters ordered off deforested land. Report, Minister not entirely to blame for FNM loss. Alarming increase in infant mortality rate. Government increases budget for consultancy services by 15.5 million dollars, all important things to talk about. If you want to call in, you can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259, or you could text us on the Guardian Radio text line, powered by BTC, and that's 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. We're going to get into all of these news stories. I want to ask, why are people still turning right on red? And why are drivers of commercial vehicles with their company logos clearly printed on the vehicle still turning left on red? If your vehicle has 18 wheels, you are not allowed to turn left on red. I don't care what the police say. I personally don't care. Think about it for a second. Your vehicle have 18 wheels, why are you turning left on red? Why? In the Bahamas, where you could die from a paper cut, in the lobby or the hospital, waiting to be attended to. All right. Before we get into the show, though, I have a quick tribute. It is with great sadness. In fact, it's overwhelming that I am going to announce the passing of a fierce feminist, a fierce womanist, a fierce defender of women's rights, the rights of the disabled and people living with disabilities, a fierce defender of the environment. Last week, we lost a giant of a woman. given the conversations we've had over the last 2 weeks, I would declare that she indeed was a bad woman, the kind of bad woman that I look up to. I want to be one day. And it's with great sadness that I announce the passing of Lynn Sweeting. When I went into advocacy formally, I was invited to join an organization called CAFRA, Caribbean Association for Feminist Research and Action. And Helen Clinaris and Lynn Sweeting at the time were members, were machinating, were fiercely working to improve the conditions of women across the Bahamas and the region. But Lynn Sweeting was also a poet, a writer, a wordsmith. And she was a co-founder, if not originator, the inspiration for a regional publication called Women Speak, a collection of creative expressions by Caribbean women. It was first produced, the first issue was published in, I think, the fall of 1992. I would have just left high school. And here were these powerful young women etching out a strategy through words and emotions across the region. And so I've asked the producer to play. We're just going to play the first minute and a half, maybe the first minute of the intro for the first reading, public reading from Women Speak that took place in 1993. And this voice you're going to hear is the voice of Lynn Sweeting. When you're ready, producer.
I'm Lynn Sweeting, and this is Helen Clinaris, and we compiled our Women Speak. Women Speak was born just over a year ago when Helen Clinaris and I bumped into each other and found that we spoke the same language, or at least could understand each other's way of speaking. And it was a joyous occasion because as long as we both could remember, we had lived in a kind of numb and silent nightmare, full of rage, full of rebellion, full of love, and overflowing with poetry. Poetry that no one seemed to care about, that no one would listen to, and that no one would pay for. We were homeless in a very real sense, fighting the fear that we belonged nowhere, that we were especially lost and unwelcome in the country of our birth. We spent many a long night reading our poems to each other and discovering that we shared a common commitment to writing down the bones of our lives, because we knew that to do so would ensure our very survival. We soon realized that there were many sisters of the pen hiding in the underground, in need of a sacred space to put their poems and stories and testimonials where they could be safe from censorship, prejudice, and domination, a place they could call home. Some very powerful women bravely came forward to lend us support, giving us their sacred writings to read and to share. And each time a sister handed us her words, she gave us new courage and conviction, until finally on Christmas Eve, our journal, our baby, was born. We now have the energy to hang on to our dream of a new society of people who are free to create in whatever wild and wonderful way they need to. We thank you for coming tonight and for sharing in this dream.
Thank you for taking that brief moment with me, audience. Those words you heard just now, those words have saved so many lives, including my own. And we know that Lynn Sweeting will live forever in our hearts and forever through her words. Condolences to her family and friends. Thank you, producer. Thank you very much. Thank you, audience, for taking that moment with me. We got a full day of things to talk about. And I see I already have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
A godly day to stalk in a waste along with you, Aaron. Pretty eyes, grin.
Good morning, Brayman. How you doing?
I'm holding a couple of things I want to speak on. But first, I want to give condolence to the lady, sweeting her family.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's her name? Vera Chase.
Yes.
I understand she died.
Yes.
We all grew up together in Mason tradition. I want to give my condolence to her family. Also, Arthur and the rest of brother and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I want to speak on, right? You
mm-hmm.
talked about squatting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm having a problem. The thing is, what I had to make it simple, right? I wish the churches would deal with the police, some of the police, of course, whereby they're having the churches, this house chase service for them.
Uh-huh.
The churches need to explain to them or teach them how to counteract immaturity crimes, especially pertaining to crime where people are squatting and people land.
I got you.
They're getting insulted and assaulted, and when you go to the police, it ain't hardly anything they can do. They're not doing anything but talking. They got to counteract the crimes in which those people, what are squatting, especially in Spence Street Mason's tradition, are doing. And you got to start from the churches, what is how this, those police services.
I got you. Thank you, Brayman.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate what you're saying. It must be frustrating watching officers being honored, right? And it just seemed like a token. It doesn't seem like it's a part of a system, right? It doesn't seem like it, the people who are honoring them are actually aware of the dynamics involved in at play. And if you're going to honor them, don't just honor them, help them, support them with capacity building, right? Because, Brayman, guess what? The vast majority of police officers, when you call the station to say, hey, I've got an issue with some squatters or suspected squatters, they don't know what to do. They have no idea, Brayman, what to do. Nobody is training. I bet you they don't have regular briefings when they're like, look, we're going to have some briefings and trainings on how to deal with cases of suspected squatting. And you know how I know that, Brayman? You know how I know that? Because when you go to headquarters, when you look at all the police paraphernalia, right? The second item listed on RBPF mandate, it says that all police officers are traffic officers. That's what it says. Every police officer is also a traffic officer. That means that any officer at any time on the public roads, right, should intervene, engage when a traffic offense has been committed. But I bet you, Brayman, that 90% of the force have not familiarized or not up to speed with all of the traffic offenses listed. And I bet you that 50% of the officers don't know that they are also obligated to deal with traffic matters. And so I could imagine exactly how frustrating it is. But don't knock your head against a wall, because that's like waiting for someone that only speaks French to communicate with you in fluent Spanish. It just is not going to happen. So I didn't touch much on Father's Day. I thought we had a great Father's Day show, but I really got to ask the question, how many fathers got crab and rice as their gift this Father's Day? And before you say, man, Aaron, look here, you don't like man because we tied a crab and rice. Do you all see the amount of crabs in Andrus? Do you see the amount of crab moving around in Andrus? Dear men, take one for the team. This should have been Crab and Rice Central. In fact, you should have requested a gift certificate, like a year supply of crab and rice gift certificate. Because all of us, given the amount of crab we've seen in Andrus so far for the season, we should be eating crab like we eat tilapia. We should just add it to our diets. And it seems like now is a great time for people to begin launching a small industry in Andrus, crab-based. I found a vendor. I want to bring him on the show. I'm trying to figure out how, not just to talk about what he does, but to talk about the model that he employs. Because he sells crab. Great model. Excellent model. I really like it because it's how we can begin to preserve our food culture and our recipes by ensuring that people can continue to make the meals and the recipes that are traditional in Bahamian culture without hassle. Because it's a hassle. It's not a lack of desire for Bahamian food and culture. That's not it at all. It's the effort and the energy required to make these meals. Like when my auntie told me how much it costs to make a pot of crab and crab soup. That requires a family investment. Can't just expect your grammy to pop up with crab soup every Sunday. That's a real investment. I got a text here that says, great show as usual. For Father's Day, I got two set of crab for Father's Day. I am truly blessed. Look here, you got children for Father's Day. You are truly, truly blessed. I also heard that there were a lot of concerns about single women claiming Father's Day for their own. And I am also here to say to those single women or primary caregivers for their children, or you feel like you are the only caregiver for your child, listen, do not deny your child access to their father. It's your job to ensure that the child is connected to their father, and it's your job to ensure that the child can reconcile, can understand their relationship with their father. It's not your job to demean him or degrade him in any way. And like if you do it right, if you do it authentically and honestly, when your child becomes an adult or in this process of maturation, right, of getting older and maturing, your child will realize who their father is. They'll come to that realization on their own. But you don't need to paint the father out to be anything. The father will do that on their own. But Texas said, but I ain't getting nothing from John Bull, so I soon take Father's Day off the calendar altogether. No, man, don't be like that. Things are tough. Things are tough. In fact, we're in a housing crisis. And I wonder how fathers have dealt with this Father's Day, those who are unhoused, tenuous housing, don't have a place for their children to rest their head, comfort and safety. But we've been in a housing crisis for decades now. And that's being played out. We see it. Even though we've been ignoring cries for the government, the state to pay attention to it, we've been ignoring that. We've been in a housing crisis for decades. And that, I mean, is being proven, right? Headline after headline. In today's Guardian, squatters ordered off deforested land. Headline from last week, people living and operating on Crown land on Carmichael Road given 14 days to clear out. We got a breaking news update from the Nassau Guardian last week that reads, Minister of National Security Wayne Monroe told a Bahamian mother living on a bus off Carmichael Road that she would have to move as government does not believe she can legally live on the land. The woman has been living in the school bus for 4.5 years with her daughter and sister. She says she is a working Bahamian. However, Monroe said before they take any steps to displace her, officials will seek to have social services provide assistance. I pause there. Officials will seek to have social services provide assistance. I don't like how that sounds. It sounds like the assistance isn't going to be automatic. You see, this is an interesting case because the housing crisis is larger than any one person or family can solve. And while there are people who can resolve housing issues for themselves individually or within a small collective unit, a family unit, I'm going to say that it's impossible for one person to solve the housing crisis, unless, of course, your name is Hubert Alexander Ingram, and you could go in your time machine and go back and not repeal the Movable Properties Act. Maybe. But back to the point. Yeah, no one person could do it. But you see, this instance here, what we see is a mother and her sister, right, have created a solution in the absence of any real, and for my lawyer people, substantive solutions. I want to talk about things that we could do, because I think right now, AID and Kelly's, and a couple of these other big companies, maybe one of these people, or caller, look here, call back, man. One of these people who import, I didn't mean to say it like that. My apologies. I'm mad at myself for missing your call. Producer, let's go to that call, get them ready, right? One of these companies could help turn this bus into a truly livable situation. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, Maureen, the last call you says, what's up?
Everything's good. Blessings. How you do?
Yeah, I am highly blessed. And good morning to those who I hope you have something to eat all on your chair. Miss Green, you know something? Something stand out to me listening to you just now when the person who's staying in that bus say, I am a working Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the person say that, I fall on hard times. I'm not working because of job situations. I can't afford a place. But you proud to say you are working Bahamian. Now, let's dissect that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Most persons who look for help when it comes to social service in this country are mostly people who are not working. Mm-hmm. Fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you got some people, even if they work and they still go look for a handout. They still try to deprive those who don't have to have. But if you are working Bahamian, Ms. Green, you're telling me, in all honesty, whether it's a Bahamian or a foreign national on that piece of land, you can't find, along with your family member, a little place, even if it's just a one-bedroom, and everybody, because I know people who live here in Nassau, Ms. Green, I have a friend, she has like 6 children, and they live in a one-bedroom, and they make it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, us Bahamian people, we look for too much handouts. We believe that the government, I don't care who the government is, they have to run to your aid when you put yourself in that position. You see, if the lady did say, well, she ain't working, I would have said, you know, wow, someone needs to really needs to step in as ASAP. But you, she came on the interview and said, I am a working Bahamian. How much Bahamians in this country ain't working? You working, and then you still looking for the government to help you? What about those who ain't working?
Now, do it. We do have an issue that is creeping in. We see it more prominently in the U.S., We see it in places like California, right?
Yes.
Where you have people who are working and are homeless, unhoused.
Yes,
in fact, I was reading a story about an African-American lecturer. She has a PhD, I think, if not a master's. But she's working in the university system, and she is still homeless.
But Ms. Green, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How could I be working and I'm making a salary, whether I have 10 children or not? I'm making a salary. The first thing a working person is supposed to do is make it possible to have a roof over your head. And I'm saying to people in this country, it's high time, Bahamian people, stop depending and stop crying and stop putting burdens on social service, especially for those who don't need it.
Now,
that's what has hurt me.
I agree with you. There are many of us who could sit back and reassess how we live. And despite us feeling, and it may be true, that we are living at an upper lower class level, right? The truth is, though, that with a shift in perspective, we may be able to live at a lesser means until we are able to achieve something greater.
Most definitely. And then, Ms. Green, you know something? This is a touchy subject, what I can say, but I don't mean no disrespect to nobody.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of females in this country have a bunch of children, right? I know personally females who have 6 children, 7 children for 7 or 6 different people.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, when those children come into the world, it leaves a strain on either the grandparents, 9 or 10 would be the grandparents, take care of the children, and then it leaves a strain on social service. Now, let's go back. Why should a woman, I mean, and this is just my opinion, have a bunch of children to bring in this country to suffer to the point whereas you have to use your children as a gain to get financial help?
Okay, I got you. I appreciate that point.
Yes, so, ma'am. So, you have a good one.
Yeah, man, absolutely do.
Yes, ma'am.
I got
yes,
a couple
ma'am.
Of callers, so we're gonna go back. I can respond to what you're saying. Okay, so first of all, strain on the family. We talk about this housing crisis, right? It's not just that there are not enough houses, right? It's also that the way that we design the houses, right, make our traditional models of living together less accessible or available to us, right? So when you say a strain on the grandparents, it's a strain on the grandparents if both the parent and the grandparent is actively working for survival because both the parent and the grandparent are paying mortgages because they got separate houses. See, a housing crisis is much deeper than there are not enough houses. The housing crisis is also rooted in our ideas and cultural practices around living together. So when you say do it a strain on the family, I would say, if we stop with this foolishness that you can't be woman, only one woman could be under this roof, or you can't be no man in my house, boy, you need to go get your own house and turn your own key. In this place, while we still having the same conversation about shanty towns on the left, and on the right we having a conversation about the exorbitant and inaccessible price of construction materials, and on the next foot we are not having the conversation about the impact of repealing the Immovable Properties Act. See, a part of this housing crisis is about how we think about each other and how we're supposed to live together. But do it, I also want to say this. I didn't see this woman begging, you know, on the bus. I don't think this is an example of what you're talking about. Because I think what she was indicating was, I am working and still this is all that I can afford. All right, so you got another caller on the line, producer. Let's go to that call. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Ms. Green.
Hey, good morning.
You know, Ms. Green, you know, people who are not living by minimum wage standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always say that minimum wage people can afford to live. You know, when their salaries is when their rent is 3/3 of their salaries.
Yeah.
Come on, how you know, so what are they going to do? Eat the rent?
Listen, you remember, you remember when your light bill could have been the same as your mortgage?
They ain't have no light bill. They ain't have no light.
Yeah.
No running water.
Yeah.
Come on, man. They have Christ housing. You know, all them people who talk, but they won't go to Canada to live. Some people in Canada got jobs, professionals, and can't find place.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is happening here. And And see, and then when, and every time, don't talk no public-private partnership that ain't done in a proper way. Because any time private individuals get involved in housing, it's not public good.
Yep.
You see, so and then we continue, our government governments continue to talk with these our standalone single family dwelling with yard. And not so, where all the people are. How is that going to happen? How's that going
to
work?
And it's antithetical to the way that we live our culture.
Man, we have a culture, our politicians buying votes, I mean, and destroying the nation just by buying votes, overbloating the public service. You got Ministry of Works overbloated and still giving out contracts.
And listen, listen, let me get to this next caller.
We got private bus, we trying to call public bus for these same poor people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's foolishness these people dealing with. These politicians need to, and then you got the Minister of Housing and labor and things and conversations that ain't in their portfolio, in their preview.
Listen,
in the news.
I agree. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Listen, you can't be getting me that riled up this morning. I was going down that road with you, and there's plenty road to walk. That road long as Frank Watson Boulevard. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Miss Green, how you doing, ma'am?
I am good, thank you, Sparky. How are you?
Well, like that, 71 yesterday was the best Father's Day I had, and I think it might be maybe the last good one like that.
I hope not. Good.
But now I want to let all the fathers know now.
Yeah.
Your women gave us one day of the year. You call say it was Father's Day. Men, the rest of the year belongs to the women's now, okay? The rest of the year is their own. Only one day is ours. And we get I didn't even get no crab and rice. I get chicken and rice, and they had no crab in it. But some coleslaw, but that's all right.
Sparky.
I could cook.
Sparky, use a PLP. I believe they can charge VAT on every other day but Father's Day. Why you set us women up like that, man?
Because you want to say, look, every other day y'all want more rights. Y'all don't want no left. You only want rights.
I want crab and rice.
Y'all been fighting for rights from all. My mother was born, you're fighting for women's rights.
And look here.
All the rights y'all get, y'all ain't asked for no left yet. Y'all gave us one day. Thank you very much. Now let's go back to work. The women need everything. There's the only one need rent, car gas, cooking gas, children food, clothes,
lotion, massage,
false eyelashes. They need everything. Men don't need nothing. Only we need to do is go work and carry the money to the women.
That's right.
Anyway,
and go home and let your children love you.
In regards to that bus and everything out there,
I'm still trying
to find out. Remember, we always saying that. Give me a moment.
Yeah.
Loftus Broker told us long time ago, nip it in the bud now. No government come in this country since Loftus Broker was there as Minister of Immigration and has stopped and nip it in the bud. They say they got 14 days to move off that government land and that. So, 14 days. Where are all of them going? They say 39 shanty towns.
Man, look here.
If they get off, hold on.
See?
If they get off the land, where are they going? Are they going back to Haiti? Because they're here illegally.
No. Listen,
and
not everybody.
How that bus get way up in the back there? America had to carry that bus way in the back there.
Don't watch nothing. Sparky, I got to go. I got to go. See, when you said nip it in the bud, I thought we was going to the Ministry of Finance and not the Ministry of Immigration. Really, when you said that. I appreciate what you're saying, right? When Loftus Roker, I don't think Loftus Roker ever been a Minister of Finance, so I should have known where you was going. But I thought you was going to the Ministry of Finance because I would reckon that a lack of regulations in the market intending to protect consumers from predatory businesses and government practices. The lack of regulation is a major part of why we're here now. See, because it's not just Haitian migrants in the shanty towns. There are lots of Bahamians in the shanty towns that cannot afford to buy their own land or to rent even. They have been effectively abandoned by their parents or kicked out of their homes, right? And have been forced to find other places to live. So when you said nip it in the bud, I thought we was going to the Ministry of Finance and those people, like the person who repealed the Immovable Properties Act. I thought that's where we was going to nip it in the bud. But that point that you made, Sparky, we're going to talk about that for the rest of the week. I think the president from the Chamber of Commerce in Abaco already raised it. If you move the people, where are you going to put them? And not just long-term, where are you going to put them temporarily? And midterm, what's the long-term plan? Most important thing for the day, Sparky. Thank you very much. You hear the music? We got to go to a break. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. When we get back, I'm going to get to all of these texts. Stay tuned.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And I got this text here that says, great show. As usual, Miss Green, it says no mango skin woman will ever, ever, ever be homeless. It's scientifically impossible. Now, listen, I'm so glad that you said that because pretty privilege is a real thing. And it turns out that there are many instances where those that are deemed prettier in the European aesthetic that we uphold here in the Bahamas, that those people are, you know, they seem to just be, they don't ever have a problem or the problems are solved, you know. Anytime they have a problem, somebody solves it very quickly. And not just that, when you say mango skin, we're talking about lighter skin people, which means that there is a possible ancestral mix with European descent. And then we know about class and privilege. Oh, texter, but then At the same time, let's not think that this cannot manifest or represent a problem for these women, right? But pretty privilege is a real thing. Thank you, texter. Another text. DeWitt is asking God to show him how you could be working but unable to pay for shelter. Maybe no, he will not answer that question. We figure it out, but we need to talk about that more, the working poor. See, when we talk about the working poor, then the gaze, right? I don't want to say blame just yet, but the gaze shifts. When we realize that there are people who are doing all the right things, they're going to work, they're living modest lives, and yet they still can't afford the basic amenities. That's why we were having the conversation about the livable wage last month. Minimum wage, when it was first introduced, minimum wage was determined, was calculated at the amount of money necessary to do some basic things. Have a house, have a car, take care of children. Minimum wage. That's what it's supposed to do. basic things. But now we have decided that the workers on the plantation are not the same as the workers up north. How dare you presume that that is determined for you here on this plantation? So the gaze then shifts to the powers that be, those who are responsible for regulating industries and markets, but more importantly, for protecting the citizens in their own country. Another text, good morning, Aaron. No one cares about Bahamians in the Bahamas anymore. All they care about is status, and if you have money or not, no one has empathy over here. And just because she's working doesn't mean she's making enough money to pay rent. And landlords don't like to hear the word social services. Oh, my. Because it's not stable. I got another text here. I'm going to get to that text. But what the texter said was, do you know how much it costs to pay first last and security deposit to gather that money in a pinch? To be able to put it aside and save it on a minimum wage. But it doesn't stop there. If you want to be a responsible citizen in New Providence, then you have to get content insurance for your things because people like to break into your house and the landlord like to pretend that he doesn't have to provide a premises that's secure. The police pretend like they don't have to investigate home break-ins. Right? Then you're talking about people who are forced, because of the amount of money they have access to rent with no furniture and no appliances in the place. So they don't have a stove with gas, so they can't cook sensible meals that people who are supposed to be living within their means supposed to cook. Y'all really, really, really don't take the time to think about what others are experiencing. Another text, Aaron DeWitt getting too rich and judgmental. He knows what it is to come up with first last security deposit. Social services sometimes is lousy. Their systems are lousy. Their systems are ineffective. That's what it is. It's not the people. Okay, another text here. On this one, Aaron, I agree. The country have thousands of entry-level jobs and low-paying jobs for the country to function. There should be housing for these people to afford. 180,000 government home is not low cost. The Bahamas have the land, build the low-cost houses for the people. Okay. The housing program, perhaps one of the best things that ever came out of any government in this country, was not low cost. I know they called it low cost. What they had to do was like they, I don't know if this caused them to create the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation, but essentially they had to create a mechanism through which the citizen could get a mortgage for the home that costs the same as regular homes. The problem with, just like you say, was with being able to qualify. But that spoke, see, this is what I don't understand. Instead of the government sitting down with the banks operating in the country and having a frank conversation that says, we don't understand why we need banks if the average citizen cannot use your bank, cannot afford to participate in your banking services. They should have sat down with those banks and told them, you got to do something different, especially since you've already made billions and billions of dollars off the Caribbean. And we are the basis of your business. Yeah, we could have that conversation. Instead of creating a whole mortgage corporation for people to go in to qualify for a mortgage that they could not qualify for in a traditional bank. Another text. We understand that things are expensive. It's probably going to get worse coming off the cuff of COVID worldwide. While it's the responsibility of our leaders to manage our affairs, we know and see how that has been going, $10 billion debt. But we have to do our part of being personally responsible, not living beyond our means, and improving our life by doing the work of qualifying ourselves, yes, and being very careful and thoughtful of who we elect to manage our taxpayers' money. I'd like to thank you for those sound and prudent words. I had a friend that died in Princess Margaret Hospital recently. He sent me two videos before he died. One was of him attempting to flush the toilet in the ward with his foot. The toilet was filled with brown liquid. The second was of a man moaning, unattended, who later died the next morning. Okay? When you see people out there being extravagant and buying a ticket to a Dexter Dapps concert, right? Or they're going to get two chicken snack to take home to eat, they're being dead extravagant, or they're going to get weave to put in their hair. Just remember that these people are already resigned in their life knowing that they cannot afford health care. They cannot afford catastrophic health care. That when they die, they're just going to die. It may be painful. Hopefully, it'll be quick and sudden. Let them drink their one little Starbucks in peace, please. Unless, of course, we're going to jump up and focus on effectively restructuring the systems in this place, turning the plantation models on their heads, and making this place livable for the 99%. Because you know that word we use, even though we don't use it with enough respect, that word Joneses? They're politicians and members of the political class. Y'all are acting like Joneses. And the question I have to the rest of the Bahamas is, are you a Davos citizen? You know, some people want to be global citizens, world citizens. The question I have for you is, are you a Davos citizen? And are our politicians aiming to be a part of the 1%? Another text, just quickly, before we go. He did pass. Okay, we're not going to read that one. It just says, don't judge, do it, don't judge. Good morning, Aaron. You mentioned pretty privilege, but I have always been told that I deserve an ugly discount. Dear person, you text me from all the way in the States, and I just have to say you are beautiful. Don't do that. Plus, we love more than the outside. We really are attracted to the inside face. Don't watch nothing. Bahamas Mortgage Corporation is owed $100 million. The reason these people don't get mortgages from regular banks is because they do not pay their loans. They can't afford it. You see the point I was making? They can't afford it, but they need housing. So what are they supposed to do? I can lie to you too. Same way the politicians has lied to us when they're trying to get our vote. I can lie to you too. Good morning, Aaron. I am a black female. With that said, how many of those who need assistance have weave and false nails? Their priorities are wrong. I mean, you're going to say that at first, right? Like, I would have said that at first, but then I realized that in this place, first of all, you have to look like you belong. That's why these boy them could get up, put on a tie, walk into your business, and come out with $1 million. I meant by business, I meant the government post office in Grand Bahama. But the same thing applies, right? Don't degrade people for attempting to use the mechanisms and systems and gimmicks that others have used successfully to flam their way to the top. Unless, of course, you're also actively working on writing this plantation system and giving people real options for advancement. Okay, listen, I am all out of time. I have a lot of things on my list we didn't get to talk about. In fact, I have to make mention that Mrs. Anne-Marie Davis, Prime Minister's wife, is in Ghana. And I'm going to try and reach out to our friend here at The Guardian, historian Christopher Davis, to see if we could get a live uplink from Ghana, from the where they've gone to visit the Ahanta people, the root, the home, the origin of Junkanoo in the Bahamas. Also, a last note, can somebody send me, I mean, this was headline, not the speaker again, you know, but could somebody send me, I want to know, is there a set of protocols, rules, standards for both parliamentarians and staff who work in the House of Assembly? And do those rules and standards apply to behavior both inside and outside of the House? Because I have a feeling that we're supposed to be talking about the speaker again, but we're all out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.